appropriate this morning that we're talking about faith. If you'll turn in your Bibles to James chapter 2, continuing on through the book of James. Today's title for Margaret is Demonstrating Faith. Demonstrating faith. You know, and faith is always very good when it's in the theory stage. Faith always works when we talk about it in the theory stage. We have conversations and it's kind of like the fish that got away, you know. We talk about faith as if we're giants of the faith until we come into some experiences that require us to believe actually what we're saying. Faith is not faith until it's tested. If it's just theory, all it remains is a religious kind of faith. We need to trust in God at all times. And I don't know about you, but I like trusting in God when everything's going great. That's easy. It's when we face the insurmountable, often ugly things that happen to children of God. I don't know why it happens. I'd like for it not to. But my Bible says that we're to rejoice in our trials. That's where faith is made. That's where faith is created. That's where faith is grown. We're each given a measure of faith and it grows. And then as to add insult to injury, after we've exercised our faith, we read in the Bible where Jesus said, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed. And I don't know if you've ever held a mustard seed in the palm of your hand. It's like a piece of pepper. God, you mean if I have that much faith, I could say to this mountain? Faith is excellent in the theory stage. But when we have to apply it, that's where the rubber meets the road. Would you pray with me? Father, this morning, Lord, as we are cautioned by Your Word and challenged by Your Word to walk by faith, not by sight, Lord. Lord, it's not only a blessing to us, but it's quite a challenge when we face some of the things that we've had to face and will face moving on. Lord, we thank You for the examples that we have, Lord, all around us. Lord, we ask that we have the audacity, the boldness to actually believe what Your Word says and to move in the faith that You've given us and watch it increase as we use it in Jesus' name. Amen. James chapter 2. Beginning in verse 17. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. The proof that we are walking in faith is the working out that faith by acting on it. We've got some good examples. It's one thing to say we believe God will bless, and quite another to obey God and experience the blessing after our obedience. And I'm very aware of the wonderful people that I serve with and are part of our church family. I think about Bill and Melissa Chappell and all that they've been through the last couple of years. I was preparing this message and praying for them. And they're still looking to God and still holding on to the vision despite some rough road that they've had to experience. I look at John and Holly Fearnow. John and Holly are here today. John shouldn't be here today, but he is. I went golfing with John about a week ago, 2 weeks ago. And he's not a very good golfer, but he's getting better. The faith that they took for them to apply what God has promised them to walk through the sickness and to be on the other side. I look at Dan and Holly. Danny standing and believing for healing. Applying what he knows by faith. I look at John and Ashley, who were told they couldn't have children anymore, and they have a baby. Look at Brad and Jody, who have showed by their work and their dedication to the youth what's happening among the young people. I look at Kim Meyer and Melody Sweeney and John and Ashley. If you haven't seen the prayer room, they just worked in there and cleaned that all up and painted it. Just working out their belief in practical ways. I'm surrounded by people that have shown me that they know how to walk by faith. Kyle and Kendra Cribbaum, which are on their way to Texas, are already down there. Children sick. Hunter almost died. Standing in faith, believing. How many know they walk through it? I'm looking at Dawn and Jennifer Babcock. Dawn set his mind to finish school. He did that. Even through a lot of criticism, a lot of, what are you doing? He set a goal. He completed it. And a lot of things happening from that. I'm looking at my good friend and father in the faith, Bill, who should have died of cancer 15, 16 years ago. He's still here. So I'm surrounded, and if I've left you out, it's not a, I'm just surrounded. I'm amazed. And I said, Lord, how is it that I'm with these giants of the faith? These people have lived through, and it's okay when it's the theory stage. It's okay to pray and not have to go through it, but how many know when you go through it, something of, when if I went to each one of these people, they'd say, something has changed about my faith, because my faith applied has, I'm still alive. My faith applied to work. My faith applied to, God called me to this ministry, and I've done it. And I see that in Brad and Jody and others that have said, you know, God has called me, and I believe what God says. But that application of faith is such a challenge to you and I. And of course, James in verse 15 and 16 talks about if someone has a need to fill it, the example of compassion, Roman numeral 1 in your notes, the example of compassion, giving is a sign that you are walking by faith. There will always be enough if you will live to give. That's such an example that we can apply to God's Word and God's truth, is that when there's a need, we look to fill that need. Come on, somebody. We fill that need. You'll always have enough if you're concerned about everybody else but yourself. You'll always have enough if you live to give. James says, you say you have faith, if somebody comes to your door and is destitute and in need of food, and you say, go away, bless you. God will always take care of you. He'll always take care of you. He would not say it and then not do it. He said He'd never leave or forsake. He said He'd give us all that we need according to His loving kindness and mercy. And so we just stand on His Word. The acts of service are required of every servant of God. Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. So we give. We're not have our hand out to receive. That'll happen. Come on, someone. It's okay to give. People say, well, you give without wanting anything back. And I understand that the Word of God says, but it also Jesus says, give and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over will men give to your bosom. It's the Word of God. That's a good word. And so we give, we sow, knowing that we'll reap because we've sown in obedience to the Lord. The example of working faith in verses 17 through 20, James does a very good job, of course. He says, thus also by faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. The practice of faith is proof of that faith. As long as we're talking about faith and using examples, that's amazing. It's amazing that we can talk about, and we maybe have more examples than the next person, and we may come across as being this great person of faith, and then the first trial, we cave in. If you had a bank that credited your account each morning with $86,000 that carried over no balance from day to day, allowed you to keep no cash in your account, and every evening canceled whatever part of that amount you failed to use during the day, what would you do? There'd be people spending some money. Draw out every cent and, of course, use it to your advantage. Each one of us has that in time. Every morning you're credited with 86,400 seconds. Every night it rolls off as lost whatever of this you have failed to invest or used for a good purpose. Time carries no balances. It allows no overdrafts. Each day it opens a new account with you. If you fail to use a day's deposits, the loss is yours. There's no going back. There's no drawing against tomorrow. And so this thing called faith, it's something that we practice every day until it's needed. See? The whole challenge in the Word, without faith it's impossible to please God. We practice it. We put it to practice every day. And it may not be needed until those times when we're faced with insurmountable problems. Or we're faced with having to stand actually believing that God is going to bring revival to this country. Whatever gamut, whatever venue we're in, we've got to exercise that faith because we're people of faith. And God will not. God never goes to the lazy or the idle when He needs men or women for His service. When God wants a worker, He calls a worker. When He has work to be done, He goes to those already at work. When God wants a good servant, He calls a busy person. Moses was busy with his flocks at Horeb when God called him. Gideon was busy threshing wheat by the wine press when God called him. Saul was busy searching for his father's lost beasts when God called him. Elijah was busy plowing with the 12 yoke of oxen when Elijah came and threw his garment on him. David was busy caring for his father's sheep. Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer, busy taking care of the king. Amos was busy following the flock. Peter and Andrew were busy casting a net into the sea. James and John were busy mending their nets. Matthew was busy collecting customs. God calls busy people. Because we're walking and acting on our faith. The work of the disciple is the disciple at work. Find something to do and do it. Come on, somebody. All of us are believing for revival. It's wonderful. I'm hearing reports all over the United States. I was over to West Virginia. I shared that with you. Just read about a revival happening in North Carolina. There's over 500-600 people saved over the last 2 months. a lot of 50, 60, 70-year-olds coming to Christ. You know what a miracle that is? Most people that make a commitment to Christ do so before, 85% do so before they're 21 years of age, so far. But God is changing that. There's revival happening all over the place. There's people that are implementing their faith by praying and believing for a tremendous, earth-shaking, knee-going revival. And it's happening. Do what you know to do. Be faithful. And when your faith is needed, you'll have it. You say, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, read your word, pray. If that only you do, if God only uses you for one witness, if God only uses you for one time, that's when your faith is needed. If you obey what God told you to do, if it changes, He'll let you know. God's not into surprises. Come on, somebody. Oh, we may not know the specific thing. It may be a surprise, a specific thing, but God has built us up for it. He's gotten us ready for it. He prepared David for years for Goliath before Goliath happened. And I venture to guess that David had no idea he was going to be standing before a 9'6" giant when he killed that lion. I venture to guess that he had no idea that he was going to stand before somebody who for 40 days and 40 nights kept the whole Israeli army at bay. God built his faith because David believed God. And he made a statement. He said to Saul, God has delivered the lion and the bear into my hand, and he'll deliver this uncircumcised Philistine. He drew out of the storehouse of faith that was built in him by action, not by theory. Can you imagine if David would have said to Saul, you know what, I think I could beat this guy, I'm not so sure. Wow. So these little things that God challenges you with, like actually being faithful to pray, actually being faithful to study, actually being faithful to lead your family in worship, actually being... all that's going to come to bear in these last days that we're living in. All of this is going to mean something in these last days when the harvest is coming in. Because the enemy is going to launch an all-out attack and has launched an all-out attack to the children of God. So all these things that we're asking to be faithful with, that God is asking us to be faithful with, are going to mean something in the future. Some of us have weathered some awfully strong storms, and it's for a purpose and a reason. Because belief, see in your notes, belief is fleshed out in action. You believe that there is one God, act like it. James says, even the demons believe and tremble. Move in faith and put your feet to your confession. Don't look for instant gratification. Be consistent and patient with God. James' example of the demons believing gives a clear picture of dead faith. Yeah, we believe God, but now I'm going through this trial or I'm going through this challenge, and now I'm not so sure, God, that this faith is going to work. No, that's the time when you say, God, I believe you. You've trained me. You've honored me. You've allowed me to kill the bear. You've allowed me to kill the lion. Now I'm going after this Goliath that stands in front of me. Know what you believe. Practice it in this fairly peaceful time that we're in. Practice what you believe so when you're challenged, you'll be able to act on it. It'll be second nature to you. Go to the grocery store and there's no groceries there. God, you'll supply for me. Honey, what are we having tonight? Pheasant? Where's the pheasant? It's going to land in the backyard. I'm going to shoot it. God's going to take care of His children. God's going to take care of His children. James says that you're talking about faith. I can imagine some of the conversations he must have had around, you know, he was the pastor of that Jerusalem church and there were thousands that were saved and he was ministering and discipling and growing people. And I can imagine some of the conversations that took place. He said, you show me your faith by your works. Don't show me your faith by all your words, because that doesn't mean anything. Act on your belief. If you say you believe God will take care of you, act on it. If you believe God will supply for you financially, then be a tither. If you believe that God will give you back what you sow, sow and be a giver in your time and your talents and your treasure. Put God to the test. He'll always pass it. The results, I could hear my mother saying, the proof is in the pudding. She always said that. Mom, I'm sorry, I promise I'll do better. She'd say, the proof is in the pudding. The results will speak for themselves. We apply faith. We move in faith. There's a result. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And so we're applying this faith. The results will prove or disprove. A couple scriptures. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6 this morning. Galatians chapter 6, verse 3. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Verse 5 says, for each one shall bear his own load. Now I want us to stop for a minute and just think, because all of Galatians is written to bring us back to a place of grace and faith. And here right in the middle of it, Paul was writing to the Galatians saying that you began in the Spirit, you ended up in the flesh, and all these works and all these things, but he still brings it back to let each one examine his own work. Are we walking out what we believe? See, because if we're not, then... And this having rejoicing in one another, somebody else. Man, I applaud these people I mentioned and others. Diana Spohr, I applaud her tenacity for healing. I applaud her husband for standing with her. I have so many examples. But what have I done? See, I can't brag on her when God says, what have you done with the faith I've given you? These are examples for us. Paul says, let each one examine his own work in verse 4, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone. Because it's just me. After all said and done, it's just me. Thank God for my wife. Thank God for my children. Thank God for my family. But I'm going to be standing before God just me. No vouchsafe letters. Oh yeah, Rick's just, I got all these letters here of recommendation. Rick, your wife said you were a pretty good husband, took the garbage out of the oven. You can come in. James chapter 1 verse 26 says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. The reason I mention this scripture is sometimes we talk as if we're all that and a bucket of chicken. And we're not. See? Are you there with me this morning? Sometimes we talk as if we're giants of the faith and we're not. Bridling our tongue is not only saying bad things, but saying things that just aren't true. Assessing where we're at in the Lord is so very important, especially in this hour. If we have needs, we need to ask. If we have needs, we need to pray. If we have needs, we need to repent of our sin that's causing us not to be able to walk in those that we know God is asking us to walk in. It's not a time to brag. It's not a time to talk as if we're okay. Living in the lap of luxury like we have in our lifetime is not conducive to walking in faith. We have brothers and sisters all over the globe right now that are afraid for their very lives, not knowing where next meals are coming from, where miracles are happening left and right. God's raising people from the dead. Thousands are being saved. I just read over in Syria where thousands of Sunni Muslims have been saved. 20,000 or 200,000, I forget what I read, where they're burning Christians, putting them in cages and burning them. How many know they're exercising their faith? And not to feel bad about being an American, I'm glad God put me here, but there's examples all around us, right in our very midst. There's examples all over the world. God is calling us to walk by faith. And James is talking to a church in Jerusalem that's under all kinds of persecution. There's been scattering of most of the church. The apostles stay there. But he's talking about application of the faith. Work and act like you're a Christian. Don't just say that you are. Don't just say you have faith. Show me by your works. And I know we get excited, especially in the election year. We're all very good Christians when it comes to election years. But we need to bridle our tongue and pray for those who have rule over us and who may have rule over us. I get it. I can't believe sometimes that we have the people that we do that are running for the highest office in the land. I'm going, would somebody suck all the oxygen out of the nation or something? I mean, I can't believe either, but God has a plan. When I pray, God says to me, I got this. Because when we pray and say, oh my God, what's going to happen? Who's going to be? We're not supposed to be like that, folks. What about the lion and the bear? Didn't God take care of us up till now? If this nation no longer exists tomorrow, if we're taken over by another nation, God's still on the throne. Are you there? It's going to be okay. God's got this. He's not surprised. He'll supply all of our need according to His riches and glory. He's doing it for our brothers and sisters all over the land. He'll do it for us. And what examples that James gives. It's interesting to note that he gives examples on both ends of the spectrum. Abraham, the father of faith, and Rahab, the harlot. I mean, it's interesting. The whole spectrum, he covers the whole thing. In one fell swoop, he says it's from Abraham, who was a man of righteousness, a friend of God, all the way down to Rahab, the harlot, who serviced men as they came into the city. Was not Abraham our father, verse 21 in James 2. Justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar. And the scripture was fulfilled which says Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness. He was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Abraham's faith was stretched to the limit. What an example. At 75 years old, he was given a promise. 25 years later, the manifestation of that promise. He believed God, and it was reckoned unto him as righteousness. Now, God was asking for Isaac as a burnt offering. You can almost see Abraham breathing a sigh of relief. There, I have a son. I did it. You know, I obeyed God. It happened. Isaac, Sarah's happy. The family's happy. I'm minding my own business. I'm serving God. I'm prospering. And all of a sudden, God comes to him and says, take your son and take him to the mountain that I'll show you and kill him. Wow. That's a test on many levels. God, who brought life out of a dead body, is now asking that body, that person, to kill the life that came out of his wife's body. It's cataclysmic in so many levels, what God asked him to do. People get hung up on the killing of it. I get that. But the whole thing, the whole promise, the whole 25 years, the whole life, the whole getting up out of Haran and going to a place where God was showing him the whole lot, his whole life was on the pinpoint of God's asking him. He says, take your son, your only son, Isaac, and offer him up. Genesis chapter 22. Wow. The works must include faith. Abraham went with his servants. You know the story. He went, got to the bottom of the mountain. He says, Isaac and I are going up. We'll be back. He said, we'll be back. Abraham knew something in his heart. Had he not waited the 25 years, had he not had the conversation with God with the stars and the sand and the thing, and had he not gone through the headache of Hagar and all of that mess, had he not done that, it wouldn't have made sense to him what God was asking him to do. But somehow, somewhere inside, he pulled himself up by his faith. And the scriptures in the New Testament go on to say that Abraham knew if Isaac was dead, God was able to raise him from the dead. Wow! All the culmination of everything that Abraham had been through, and just as he was about to kill Isaac, God provided the ram, and he said, now you've proven yourself to me. Now I know that I can trust Abraham. You say, well, that was good. Abraham's in a different category than me. Uh-uh. God asked all of us to move by faith. Even when it looks like it's an impossible situation. God is the God of the impossible. Ask Bill what he was like when they sent him home and said, get your house in order, you're going to die. Buy him a cup of coffee later and ask him to walk through the faith that he had to have to be where he is today. Sit down with John Fearnow and ask him what he had to go through when he was sitting in the hospital. He's got a brain tumor and you're gone. How many are praying right now, God, I like that, but don't let that stuff happen to me. Come on, somebody. Is that all right to say? Because we don't want to face those kind of things, but we have no idea what tomorrow holds. Amen. We don't know what we'll have to face. That's surprises of life. But God is not in his surprises. He prepares our heart. He prepares us if we'll show up for the training. God knew full well that David would have to understand about his provision in killing the enemy before he ever saw the giant. When he saw that bear, it was training time. When he saw the lion, it was training time. When he was by himself on the backside of the desert taking care of sheep, God provided for him. When he played the harp for Saul and the demons left, God provided strength and faith so that when he stood where everybody else wouldn't stand and killed the giant, God had prepared him. The giant was a surprise, the preparation was not. Are you there with me today? Hang in there just for another hour and a half. Are you there? God will provide, and we don't know. Sometimes we go through these strange things. We go through some times when there may be a test for us. It may be, and we say, God, what are you trying to do? He's building something in us so that we'll be able to face those trials of life that are seemingly insurmountable. Hindsight's always 20/20 vision. We look back and we say, that's why. 1987 seems like years ago to some people. To me, it's just yesterday. God called us into ministry, and I was offered $125 a week. I had two children. Come on, somebody. You better hear God when you take a jump like that. I'm not bragging. I'm saying I was scared to death. God, help me. How am I going to do it? And we knew God had called us to do it. But it was, and we would have never known that that was a step to what God really wanted us to do. See, God built in us the faith to be able to believe He could take care of us, even, I mean, those were days. I've told this story often, but my brother and his wife and three kids came up to stay with us. We had nine people, trying to feed nine people. And by that time, I was making a whopping $350 a week. Woo! God provided for us. Literally, sitting around the table praying for food to come, and it would come. And we're wondering, we're sitting there wondering, God, what is this all for? See? We were out in the middle of nowhere. I was ministering to about 25 youth, and I said, what's this all for? But God has a way of training His people. You may be in a place in your life where you're just paying the bills and going and doing and being faithful in the small things. He who is faithful in the small things, God will give you. He's got a plan. God purposed in His heart when David was anointed king, God purposed in His heart that the training would take place with the lion and the bear so Goliath would be an afterthought. David came and said immediately, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? What will be done for the man that kills him? His brother said, well, you know, you get all kinds of riches and you get the king's daughter. Where is he? Come on, let me at him. It's that kind of reckless, almost a reckless faith that God is looking for in this generation. We've reached a place in this nation to say it's almost impossible. We're the hated ones. We're the ones that aren't even allowed to talk about. I got news for you. We should talk about it all the louder. Talk about the goodness of God. Talk about the righteousness of God. Talk about the peace of God. Talk about the joy of God. Talk about the purity and the holiness of God. This is the time to talk about that stuff. This is the time to stand on God's Word. This is the time to declare God's Word because the giants are coming. The Goliaths are coming. And for some, they're already here. This is not a time to lose faith. This is a time to exercise faith. James says, you show me your faith without works, and I'm going to show you a dead faith. Don't tell me how what a faithful person you are when you've not walked the faith that you confess with your mouth. That's theory faith. That doesn't have anything to do with what God has called us to do. It's just words. It's just mental assent. Mental assent is not going to do it. God's seed of faith started with Abraham for the entirety of mankind. He's called the father of faith. His obedience was acted out until the point of no return. If we remain safe, we will never grow in our faith. Can you imagine if Abraham would have made an excuse? How very different things would have happened if Abraham said, look, God, we got to talk, you and me. I don't have it in me to have more children. Although he had six or seven, after Isaac. God, Isaac is, no, I can't do this. Did he battle in his mind? You bet your sweet bippy he probably did. I wouldn't want to have been in Abraham's head when he was headed for the mountain. He was taking every thought into captivity because he realized what came out of his mouth was so very important. That's why he said to the men, Isaac and I will return. It's not to say that we don't have our moments, but God is a delivering God. If we remain safe, we'll never grow in our faith. And we need to increase it. When the disciples said to Jesus, increase our faith, that's when he said, mustard seed faith, you got it. So what was he saying to them? You have faith right now less than a mustard seed. If you'll increase it just to that size. My question to you is, when's the last time you took the leap? Is God challenging you? Maybe in a small thing. But God never looks at anything small. If He's telling you to do something, He's got a plan. God's always up to something. He's building something for something else. He's layering our lives so that we'll be the best for Him we can be. Come on, somebody. He's not a one-hit God. He wants our lives to reflect Him. And then He goes from Abraham, which is the father of our faith, He goes from that to Rahab the harlot. The oldest profession in the world. And the spies end up in her house. You can read it in Joshua chapter 2. The spies came and somebody spied the spies coming. And somebody went and told the king. The king sent to Rahab and said, hey, those spies that came from over across the river there, I want them. And she said, they already left. You're too late. They took off. She lied. They took off. They went out the gate when nobody's looking. And if you go right now, you'll catch him. Said to the king, if you go right now. And he sent his soldiers to capture the two spies. Meanwhile, she's got sheaves drying on the roof. And she covers them over. And then she has a conversation with them. And man, if you read that conversation, she's a woman of faith, and she's in the know. She's hearing all this. She said, we've heard about you guys. We've heard about you came across the Red Sea and the Egyptians were drowned and all that. We've heard about the God that you serve. We've heard about the provision that he's done all these years. And we are scared to death of you guys. But do this one thing. I'm asking you to do this one thing. Could you spare me and my household? She went from believing faith to acting faith. And if you understand, we look down upon that profession now. It was even looked down upon worse at the time. And here's a harlot talking to men of God and saying, if you please remember me because of what I've done. And the two spies said, hey, not only will we remember you, but anybody in your household, you bring whoever and we'll take care of him. Here's what the only thing that we're asking you to do is take the scarlet thread, the scarlet rope that was hung down over, hang that same rope, and there's a preach right there, the red cord of redemption. Thrown out that window, and as soon as we see that, everybody in our household will be saved. Wow. You say, God, I've been nobody. I've not done anything. I may not do anything that's world-shaking the rest of my life, God. But I want you to spare me. I want you to take care of me. And God says, I'll take care of you. I'll make sure that you're taken care of. And far beyond that, I'll save you. I have a home for you. I have a place for you. Rahab the harlot risked her life, and she did not tell. She risked her life when she talked to the king, knowing that her life was disposable. She hid the spies. And as a result, Matthew chapter 1, verse 45 says, Salmon begat Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begat Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. She's in the line of Christ the Savior. She's related to Christ born in the flesh. Because of her obedience. Who would have known that? Listen to me. Who would have known that? This streetwalker, this prostitute, this harlot, who was part of Jericho, whose the whole city was condemned by God. You say, well, we're in an impossible situation. I would like to compare impossibilities. What other impossibility could be worse than a city being destroyed and you're in the lowest profession in the city? Do you think it was an accident that the spies ended up in her house? No. Did she have any idea that she would be the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandma of Jesus? You don't know what your obedience and your walk of faith and your action is going to do generations from now should Jesus tarry. Or even in the next generation. Or even in this generation. What we do does not go unseen by heaven. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. That's the whole thing James is trying to say. He's saying, if you'll show me your faith by your works, you'll be blessed. Let's take it out of the realm of theory and into the realm of work. Now I'm going to apply my faith. God says that I'll lead souls to Christ. Let me be a witness. God says that I'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I'm going to lay hands on the sick. God says that if I take care of my wife and my family and I minister to them and I become the pastor of my home, my family is going to be blessed and serving God. Well, then do it. Put God to the test. Have the guts to say, God, I'm going to do it. What that conversation must have been like. Rahab had to come out of something. Come out of intimidation, come out of fear, come out of where she was to say, take care of me and rescue me. And they did. God is able, my friend. I want to close by reading a quote by Martin Luther. He said, how the plan of God works out is up to him. if we are obedient. If God did not bless, not one hair, not a solitary wisp of straw would grow, but there would be an end of everything. At the same time, God wants me to take this stance. I would have nothing whatever if I did not plow and sow. God does not want to have success come without work. And yet, I am not to achieve it by my work. Let me read that again. God does not want to have success come without work, and yet I am not to achieve it by my work. He does not want me to sit at home, to loaf, to commit matters to God, and to wait till a fried chicken flies into my mouth. That would be tempting God. That's good stuff. That tenseness between, oh, I'm a man of faith, I'm a woman of faith, I believe God. Had a young man in my church years ago came to me and he said, God's called me to live by faith. I'm a man of faith. He's 30-some years old and had a teenage boy. So he said, I'm going to prove that God is, I'm quitting my job. He said, my wife is quitting her job. My son's quitting his job. And we're going to be a family that lives by faith. I said, are you sure you've heard from God? Because there's two ways that people approach you. God told me, or would you pray because I believe God's telling me? The one you can't do anything about, the one you can help with. God had told him, I'm going to live by faith. I'm a man of faith. I quit my job. No savings, nothing. He's just going to believe. And so I just said, I'll pray for you. I mean, blessings upon you. A couple weeks later, I went over to his house about noon, knocked on his door. He was still in his pajamas. Unshaven, I woke him up. Wife's still in bed. He'd stayed up all night watching movies on HBO. And the reason why I stopped by his house, because he was asking for money. Can you help us? We're broke. And I said, I thought God called you to live by faith. I wasn't trying to be harsh. Put the thing that's in your heart to a test. If God has said it, He'll supply. If God has said it, He'll supply to you and for you and through you and with you. He'll involve you in His end time plan if you'll just say, God, I not only want to talk faith, I want to leave theory and walk faith. Whatever that is, whatever's laying before you is a challenge. If it's the lion, it's the bear, it's the giant, whatever it is, God is able to do exceeding abundantly more than we could ask or hope for. Thank you for the example that you are to me. And I want to be an example to you. Let's be people that not only walk and say that we walk by faith, we actually do it. We actually do it. Let's bring it up another notch. Let's lay the gauntlet of challenge down and be people. Yeah, those people over there at New Life, they're people of faith. I watch miracles happen. Amen? He's a God of miracles. Father, thank you for the challenge that your word presents to us today. Thank you, Lord, that it's a challenge far beyond what we could imagine. Father, we don't know what tomorrow and the next day and the future holds, God. We have no idea. But Lord, we know that you prepared us for it. Father, we know that you're preparing us. You're faithful. God, in these tests and trials that we go through, God, it's for a purpose and a reason. Thank you, God, for the examples that we have in our own midst. Thank you. We ask you to bless the families that were mentioned and those that weren't, God. Thank you for the examples that we have in Scripture of Abraham and Rahab and others. God, thank you for the faith that you've given us. And God, we pray for this great nation. We pray for the United States of America, whose founders gave their own life to sign that declaration 240 years ago as they penned their names. Most of them died penniless. The great sacrifice that they did, putting feet to their faith. God, let that godly heritage seep down upon this nation just now. God, we lift this great country to you and we ask that you move, Father, on behalf of your church as we cry out, God, as we ask for that kind of faith to be applied to those that are believing Christians in every realm. in politics, in music, in film, in education, in finance. God, I believe that you prepared us with lions and bears. We're about to face some of the biggest giants, but God, we overcome by the word of our testimony, by the blood of the Lamb, and not loving our own lives to death. Father, I pray for each and every one this morning, God, that you would meet and exceed our expectations as we stand and believe and walk in the faith that you've given us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.